2 Kings. If you could turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. It would be much appreciated. 2 Kings chapter 6. Last time I gave a sermon was from 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, and it was a little bit more of a compact sermon, but I did not want to get into this story that we cover tonight because it's such a wonderful story that it needs to be appreciated all by itself. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 through 23. I'll read that right now. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, "I will set up my camp in such and such a place." The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there." The man of God he's speaking of is Elisha. Okay. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, "Will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?" "None of us, my lord, the king," said one of his officers. "But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." "Go find out where he is," the king ordered, "so I can send men and capture him." The report came back, "He is in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh, my Lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes so he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike these people with blindness." So he struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, "This is not the road and this is not the city. Follow me and I will lead you to the man you are looking for." And he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see." Then the Lord opened their eyes and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, "Shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them?" "Do not kill them," he answered. "Would you kill men you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master." So he prepared a great feast for them. And after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we really get excited reading stories like this. I do. And you have such care for your people and such concern for their righteousness and their righteous activity. Lord, I pray that we as your people here in Alto would see like Elisha saw and not like his servant. Increase our faith that we might be able to see beyond the physical. In Jesus' name, amen. I think sometimes as Christians, our fears paralyze us. And it's because we concentrate too much on the Aramean army surrounding us, or like the Apostle Peter, who's called out by Jesus, all he sees are the waves. Fear paralyzes us. Sometimes we concentrate our attention so much on the physical world that we unplug ourselves from the means to a more mature faith than where we stand today. You see, I think sometimes we have to do something we're afraid of. We have to take that next step in order for God to mature us, to increase faith in us. The problem is that we're not seeing often beyond the veil unto Christ's kingdom. We see only the material, and we've forgotten the words of the psalmist that was our call to worship. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Yes, we forget who's reigning and how he has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Yet if the church were to better understand her place in creation, if the church were to better understand her place in creation, she would recognize first that her Lord is King of all and Victor. And secondly, she would be cognizant, aware that there are always two camps. There are always two camps. She never travails alone, but God's heavenly hosts are alert to His command and ready armed at His disposal. We've got to understand this. So as Matthew Henry writes, when we are magnifying in our heads, okay, I added the in our heads, when we are magnifying the causes of our fear, we ought to possess ourselves with clear, great, and high thoughts of God and the invisible world. I'll be honest with you. Well, I'm usually honest with you. So when I say I'll be honest with you, I'm not, you know what I'm saying. I have to be, I'll confess something to you. Going out yesterday, Saturday, is not my cup of tea. I stew over that the day ahead of time, the night ahead of time. My mind's on it constantly. I felt quite responsible for some things. And so I found myself praying a lot and thinking a lot of the heavenly host, thinking a lot of the story of Elisha and God's host who surrounded the Aramean army. And I tell you, if you do not think beyond what you can see and what you think you can tabulate, you probably ain't going to go anywhere near doing some of these types of activities that change our world. So Matthew Henry's advice is, when we are magnifying the causes of our fear, we ought to possess ourselves with clear and great and high thoughts of God and the invisible world. Now, when we got out there yesterday and drove up, I was at perfect peace with things. It's almost like one of those situations where when we're told that we shouldn't worry so much about what we're going to say, because God will give you the words to say. He'll give you the peace you need in the moment. But when we got up there, because my thoughts were beyond what I could see, I was quite at peace. Even when somebody was yelling and screaming in Don Mittelstadt's direction, I didn't fear the guy at all. What could he do to me? What could he do to Don? Beat us up? Maybe. So what? That was the place I was at with things. And it was really a blessed event, a blessed time. But this is the lesson we learned this evening. Mature faith sees beyond the waves and beyond the Arameans. It looks past the veil unto Christ's kingdom. That's what mature faith does. Mature faith does not concentrate on the physical world, but it builds itself upon the invisible. And that's not just having to do with battles out in the marketplace, but with how you live your life as well, obviously. We begin reading in verse 8 again. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. He was strategizing, figuring out a way to defeat the Israelis, to put them under submission. But something was going on. Every time he made a plan, it seemed as if the king of Israel already knew about it. He had hardly decided to cut them off at the pass, and the king of Israel was there checking out the pass, preventing harm. And it enraged the king of Aram. He thought, surely he had a traitor in his midst, and he called them in and was accusatory in his tone. And they said to him, Lord, it's nobody here. But there's a prophet in Israel by the name of Elisha. He tells the king everything you're thinking, everything you're saying, even in your bedchamber. Find them. They got to find this guy. And they went out and the report came back. Elisha is in Dothan. Listen, I tell you, the ungodly appear at times. They appear at times, especially in these times, it seems, to wield untold resources. And most often, if not always, their intentions are flesh-based and wicked. Fitting this description, the king of Aram's strategies with his officers to effectively battle the Israelites. He's flesh-driven and wicked. More than once he plans to set up his camp in such and such a place, yet his maneuvering is somehow being exposed. He does correctly deduce that his plans are being told directly to the enemy. However, the king of Aram incorrectly concludes he has a traitor within his ranks. He doesn't know what he's up against. If he did know, perhaps he would not be at war with God's people in the first place. You know, the unbelieving world may not see beyond the veil, but they recognize those who can. And for sure, Elisha, he's recognized as one of those whose faith transcends the physical world. But also, Elisha is seen as one who can somehow affect things that are invisible. He can somehow know the secret words of this that the king speaks, even in his bedchamber. So they knew about Elisha. Even though they did not see beyond the physical, they knew that this Elisha could. And don't misunderstand, it's not Elisha affecting the invisible, but God himself. Elisha is merely one of God's faithful ministers. He's someone who seeks first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what we're called to be. Elisha knows what Jacob's son Joseph knew. As Joseph first stood prisoner before Pharaoh, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. I cannot do it, Joseph replied to Pharaoh. But God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. They knew. Both Elisha and Joseph knew the one they were looking to. And people of God, lest you think everything must come easy, you should know that Joseph was sold into slavery earlier by his brothers in this very city of Dothan that Elisha was now living with his servant. And yet both men knew to see beyond the veil, beyond the physical, to what God was doing in their midst. Both men understood their place before God. Both Joseph and Elisha knew the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. We need to know that, or we'll never do anything of substance. Well, the king of Aram deploys his resources in the form of troops. We read in verse 14, then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and he went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. His servant saw a throng of flesh and blood, the Aramean army, representing physical opposition to godliness. That's all the servant could see. He only saw the waves. And so when Elisha said, don't be afraid, those who are with us are more than those who are with them, the servant, he probably thought about physical limitations, about the population in the town. What does my Lord think, that there's enough people here to defeat that army? But that's not what Elisha meant. You see, God has taught Elisha to see beyond the seen. He's taught him the Lord is king of all and victor, and that he should be cognizant, aware that there are always two camps. Always two camps. The patriarch Jacob, he once articulated this idea of two camps. This is great stuff. It was when Jacob was returning to the land of Israel. And you remember, he knew his brother Esau might be out for revenge against him. He was coming back. He'd married two women. Kind of ended up with one. He didn't want as much, but that was the deal. Worked a little longer, got the second one. But he knew his brother Esau might be out for revenge, and God found a way to give Jacob confidence on the way. We're told that Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Mahanaim. R.J. Rushdoony explains for us, Mahanaim means two camps. Jacob was referring to the fact that two groups were present there, his group and the heavenly host, so that he moved toward Esau with a double host. Can you imagine how that might inspire confidence in you? Alto CRC, do you believe that the church, she never travails alone? But God's heavenly hosts are alert to his command and ready armed at his disposal. Do you believe that? We are not, if we get into this physical, seeing things physically only, we get into this idea, oh, there's just another church trying to do something. Our church would never do that. We're seeing just physical then. We must see beyond the veil. We must be assured that we are walking in the ways of the Lord, seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. And then look out. Think back upon what Jesus said when the men stepped forward and they seized Him and arrested Him. It was when Peter reached for a sword and he cut off the servant of the high priest's ear. And Jesus said, put your sword back. For all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think, Jesus asked, do you think I cannot call on my Father? And He will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legion of angels? So Rushduni adds, God's angels guard us, although we do not see it. The protection is always there, but not on our terms. We must remember, hear this, we must remember that the greatest evil is neither suffering nor death, but a failure to believe and to grow in faith. Joseph, when he was sold into slavery there in Dothan, that wasn't his greatest fear. That wasn't the worst thing that could happen to him. The worst thing that could happen to him was to be sitting in that pit waiting for the Ishmaelites to come along and thinking, oh, this is just terrible. God is out of control here. Joseph believed. He was always one consistently who saw beyond the veil, who saw God's hand in all that he did. We must remember that the greatest evil is neither suffering nor death, but a failure to believe and to grow in faith. But Elisha's servant was full of fear. He could not see beyond the veil. So Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so he may see. And then the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. This was reality. Not what he saw at first. What he saw the second time was reality. Tell the wicked, there are always two camps to consider when you oppose the people of God. Congregation, please pray for each other that our faith would mature. It's too easy to become fearful. Fearful of the Aramean army. Well, in verse 18, as the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike these people with blindness. So he struck them with blindness as Elisha asked. Elisha told them, this is not the road and this is not the city. Follow me and I will lead you to the man you're looking for. And he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see. Then the Lord opened their eyes and they looked and there they were inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them? Do not kill them, he answered. Would you kill men you've captured with your own sword and bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master. So he prepared a great feast for them, and after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. It's funny how the man of God, he prays for one to see and for others to be blinded. No question of what's motivating him. And God obliges him because it is in concert with God's will and His glory. And since these Arameans have come with wickedness in their wake, Elisha decides they're not privileged to receive the truth. And blinded by God, Elisha tricks them. He lies to them. Righteously. He righteously lies to them. He's not bearing false witness. This is not the road and this is not the city. Follow me and I will lead you to the man you're looking for. And he leads a whole army into Samaria, which was northern Israel's capital city. He delivers them to sure destruction if he wants. Once surrounded by the Israelite soldiers, God removes the fog from their eyes, their stupor. And there they stand. Matthew Henry comments, the enemies of God and his church, the enemies of God and his church, when they fancy themselves ready to triumph, will find themselves conquered and triumphed over. You can't destroy the church. Yet our man of God, he issues a stay of execution. Do not kill them. Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master. Church of God, we must better understand our place in creation. Recognize first that your Lord is King of all and Victor. And secondly, become cognizant, aware that there are always two camps. The church never travails alone, but God's heavenly hosts are alert to His command and ready armed at His disposal. Matthew Henry concludes, "The shameful defeat which Elisha gave to the host of Syrians who came to seize him, they thought to make a prey of him, but he made fools of them, perfectly played with them, so far was he from fearing them." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are the victor. You are our King. We are your bride. Cause us to seek your kingdom and your righteousness first. And Lord, help us to see beyond the veil and to act in a manner that's consistent with what you want done in the earth. Build up our faith that we might be mature and help others to see what matters. Forgive us our sins, Lord. And our fears. In Jesus' name, amen.